When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Boy, you are dancing hard, Jesse.
Yeah, I like the way you move.
Wow.
I like the way you move.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, or Owen Cohen with you. Heard all across the country on all the great ESPN radio stations, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and of course, ESPN2. It is draft week, NBA, NHL playoffs going on.
How great was it this weekend, though? All the playoff games, wall-to-wall playoff games on Saturday and Sunday. It was awesome. I was posted on the couch, took a little respite, went to brunch with my wife and my dad at the Dutch yesterday afternoon. But then it was back to playoff games in the afternoon and evening. It was just awesome. Like, the NBA has this thing figured out. There's so much excitement, so much optimism about the first series, game one, and all of the home teams won.
Well, I can't focus on sports because I need to now know the menu, because that is a restaurant I've been to many of times. So let's go with the menu. What did you eat yesterday?
Ooh, pancakes. Oh. I love the pancakes at the Dutch. You get the thick cut bacon, some maple sausage, put the blueberry topping over.
Oh, yeah. Stop.
And then my wife had the avocado toast. She put some bacon on there and kind of made it a little sandwich. Oh. Yeah, Pops went to pancakes as well. I mean, it's pancakes at the Dutch. You can't lose.
Have you ever had, because Smalls and I have argued about this, the honey butter biscuits that they have
Amazing.
There? Amazing. Told you.
Amazing.
They were good.
That's not enough.
I thought they were good.
They're good.
They were good. They were good.
They were good.
They're really dense.
I'm not even a biscuit guy, and they're excellent at that place.
No, they are great, but they fill you up. They're dense.
No doubt. Like, I certainly
they fill you up.
Yeah,
they don't fill us
they
up.
Fill but me no, up. But they
Smalls
were dense.
Has got a point though, because my dad and I both had the pancakes. We probably could have split one order of pancakes because neither one of us were able to finish our meal. That's how much food they
gave. Okay, and if you guys can't finish your meal, imagine me tackling
that's
the same
what,
meal.
That's
okay,
what I'm saying. Exactly.
I can't even imagine splitting a meal with someone at this point in life. I'm getting my own meal. Are you kidding me?
We both got our own.
Okay,
but what I'm saying
sure.
is we had a lot to take home, which will make for a really good breakfast for me when I get off the show.
And you know who wouldn't do that? Michelle Smallman. You're telling me
the weirdest thing about me. I don't
I
like
know,
leftovers.
No leftovers. Yeah,
yeah, it's the weirdest
strange.
Thing about me.
Why do you like
it?
Wasting money? I don't get that.
It's not that I like wasting money. I'm telling you, it is the weirdest thing about me. If something was once hot and then it's cold again and you have to reheat it. Oh, I'm going to throw up right now. When you open the container and there's that condensation in there and you get a whiff of the stale food. Oh, it's so gross. It
she's
me
it's
out.
Not stale, though. A day
know,
old is not stale.
It smells stale to me.
Yeah, but
I just can't.
But the best
it.
Part about leftovers is you give it an extra day for the seasoning to set. It is so much better than
I
next
agree.
Day.
I agree.
Like, if you have lasagna, and Smalls, I know you can, lasagna, we both love lasagna, but if you have lasagna a day later after it's cooked.
Are you dry heaving right now?
A little. Like the thought of pasta sauce like
dry
congealing
you know
on saying? The noodles.
Outstanding.
My wife has to convince me to throw things out after a week. I'm like, I still haven't
gotten
to it
yet. I'm not
going to
take it that far. I would probably give it 2 to 3 days. Like 48 to 72 hours. Once it passes that, I'm throwing it out. But the next day, it is absolutely outstanding.
But see, here's the thing. I'm the best brunch and or dinner companion because you can have all the leftovers. I'll send them all home with you to enjoy.
There you go. I have no complaints. Huh. I have no complaints with that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way.
I can get on board with that.
See what I'm saying? So just because I don't like it is one thing, but now you get double the fun because you get to take it all home with you. You get your meal, your meal's leftovers, and my leftovers.
What are you doing for lunch?
Giving you my leftovers.
Good. I like it. All right. You know what? I don't even need to be with you.
Yeah.
If you're out with someone else and you have leftovers, I'll take them.
Okay, deal. I'll bring
them.
Okay,
good. Good. Look forward to Smalls' leftovers tomorrow. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. NBA action from over the weekend. All 8 home teams won in game 1. And there were tons of blowouts yesterday from start, not all the way to finish because Oklahoma City did win by two, but Boston beat up on Miami. The Clippers annihilated the Mavericks without Kawhi Leonard, and the Bucks without Giannis get 35 in the first half from Dame. Zero in the second half from Dame, which was the weird. That has to be one of the weirdest games ever.
Yeah.
But they beat Indiana 109-94. Biggest takeaway from the weekend, guys, is what? Small, start off with you. From NBA weekend this weekend, biggest takeaway is what?
I would say the Celtics that fall with Jason Tatum, it looks like it galvanized them a little bit. And by that, I mean, not that they needed a reason to go out there and want to win, but I was thinking a lot about a team that dominates a lot during the regular season. Sometimes you don't have that same momentum that some of these other teams have going into the playoffs. And I think that that moment with Jason Tatum, that physicality, really sparked something in the Boston Celtics. And I'm hoping that it carries them throughout the playoffs. Not that they need it because they are so good, but we talked about them being the only thing that could get in their own way, and I thought adding a little gasoline to the fire for them in that moment with Jason Tatum would really benefit them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I guess the other thing that helps the Boston Celtics is that they're facing off against a team that bounced them in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a one-sided series, even though it went seven games. I mean, it was basically the long goodbye for the Boston Celtics. So having an opportunity to get some retribution going into your playoff run, I think that's a good thing for them. The one thing that concerns me a little bit about the Seas, though, he seemed to live and die with the 3-point shot.
Yes,
like they fall in love with the 3-point shot,
22
and they settle for a lot of jump shots. Now they were great yesterday because they set a franchise record, but I just wonder once they play against quality competition, an opponent that's full strength. Like, is that going to be something that comes back to bite them once they get to the championship rounds? But the big takeaway for me is I made a mistake discounting the Los Angeles Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And to my own peril, and it looks like it's going to be to the peril of the Dallas Mavs. That was a game that they dominated without Kawhi Leonard. They led by 30 at one point. So, I mean, like, if something happened in that second quarter, James Harden flipped the switch. He started cooking. There was no cutting it off. But then the Mavs couldn't buy a bucket. They only made two field goals in the second quarter. Two. They scored 8 points. I mean, that to me was the difference. And it felt like Ty Lue and the Clippers, the entirety of the game, dictated the terms of engagement. It seems like they played at a pace that Luka Doncic was a little bit uncomfortable with. And you saw in the second half, he's barking at teammates. He was barking at Maxi Kleber because the guy didn't catch the ball on a pocket pass. And you can see when you have that kind of body language, you're either going to get guys to respond or guys are going to turn down. And it was the latter for the Dallas Mavericks. And if you get the others being disengaged because of the attitude of the best player is so off-putting, I think that is something psychologically that's going to be hard for people to overturn. And how do you get past getting smoked like that in game one when the other team doesn't have their best player? I mean, I was predicting that the Mavs would go on a deep playoff run and get to the conference finals. I don't even know if they're going to get out of the first round because of how good the Clippers were yesterday in the game plan that Ty Lue was able to put together.
I think one thing we all forgot about in having the conversation about Clippers-Mavs is the coaching disparity.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Lue is so good. Ty Lue is Hall of Fame level good as a head coach. And Jason Kidd's on his third team for a reason.
Yeah.
As a head coach. I mean, let's just be a Hall of Fame player, but on his third team for a reason. And we also... You know, it's funny with the Clippers, Kawhi's out. James Harden gives you 1 to 2 games per 7-game series. That's it. That's been the knock on him.
Yeah.
Well, if they get 1 to 2 games with this team, they good.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because Kawhi will come back at some point. Paul George is there. So, I mean, I, for me, my biggest takeaway is I feel pretty good not writing off two teams. Because I didn't write off – I picked the Clippers to win the championship, and I didn't write off the Bucks. I feel pretty good about that, although I don't understand one thing. What's more odd, that you have a 35-point first half or a 0-point second half?
The 0-point second half.
Because Dame Lillard had one of the weirdest games. He had 35 in the first half and no points in the second half in a win. That is weird.
You didn't need him to score in the second half.
I know, but not a by accident bucket.
You didn't need him to score in the second
half. But isn't that weird to have, like, you get 35, that unbelievable. And at one point he mouthed to the crowd, "This is why they brought me here." And reminded us, like, they didn't bring him there for the regular season. They actually put that out on Twitter, by the way. The Bucks Twitter account put that out
there. Yeah, the regular season doesn't matter.
I don't know if I would love that if I'm the Bucks. You still want to sell tickets for next year? Like, hey, I don't have to go to the games. You told me it doesn't matter. But I feel pretty good about not writing off the Clippers and not writing off the Bucks.
Do you think it's sustainable for both teams if their stars are out?
Oh, if their stars are out?
Like if Kawhi doesn't come back, do you think Dame can continue this way without Giannis?
I think the Bucks could definitely beat the Pacers without Giannis. I don't think they could win. Well, could they win the next series without Giannis? Is it possible? They both, I mean, the Clippers and the Bucks are really
deep.
Can they
beat the Knicks or the Sixers without Giannis?
Is that impossible?
No.
It's not impossible.
No.
I think it's, no, they won't?
No, it's not impossible.
Okay, sorry.
It's not impossible.
Yeah.
Listen, I know they're not a better team without Giannis.
Yeah.
But you get a better version of Damian Lillard without Giannis.
You do. That's a good point.
You do. I mean, the reality is that Giannis has missed 10 games, and I think they're 5-5 after yesterday's win. But what it looked like to me, the way they played, the roles are more clearly defined on the offensive end, right? You got the big splacing the floor, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez.
So
you got high pick and roll. And what it creates is one-on-one opportunities for Dame Lillard to get downhill. And the Pacers quite literally could not stop him. He was getting to the paint every single time. He was getting downhill every single time. And when he wasn't, guess what? He was kicking it out to guys that were open and knocking down shots. I mean, it just feels like there is more balance on the offensive end. And you know how role players are. When they see the ball go in the basket, defense gets a little bit tighter. The intensity gets a little bit ratchet up. And that's exactly what we saw. And it snowballed for the Milwaukee Bucks, which is why you didn't need Dame to score in the second half.
Well, one thing about what you just said, CeCe, and both these things are tied together. Dame Lillard and James Harden. When they're the best players on a team and they have role players around them, the entirety of their career has proven they can take you to the conference finals.
No doubt.
They have proven they cannot win a championship in that scenario. Luckily for both of them, one as Kawhi Leonard, one as Giannis.
There you go.
So it kind of makes sense, right? And when you take a step back and say, James Harden had a Rockets James Harden game and Dame had a Portland Dame game,
yeah,
is what you saw yesterday. One other thing.
Much better teams around them, though.
Yes. And I thought about the Rockets yesterday with what you said about the Celtics, just to get back to that. The Rockets, in a huge game against the Warriors in the playoffs years ago, missed 27 straight three-pointers.
Yeah, what were they, 5 of 44 from three-point
land? And that is what you're afraid of with the Celtics. When you take that many threes in a row, there could be a night where you get so cold in the biggest of games, you lose. And one other thing, and I have to look at the camera on this one because now I'm bothered by this. For those clowns out there that are suggesting that Eric Spoelstra, after 2 decades in the NBA and 2 championships, decided to call a code red and call a timeout to send Caleb Martin out there to hurt Jason Tatum, who he's going to coach in the Olympics in 2 months. You are out of your mind. You've never watched basketball before, and you know nothing about what happened. Even Joe Mazzulla defended the Heat in that one. Sorry, I had to get it off my chest. We're good on that?
I thought you were going to go off on the people ripping Heat Nation. Saying well, they're front runners.
You can do that.
That's
fine.
Heat culture?
Fine.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Sweep the leg.
You can do that. Rip the Heat all you want.
Karate kid.
Ripping Spoelstra, suggesting that Eric Spoelstra sent someone out there. He called the timeout to review a play. You can't review a play without the timeout. To suggest that he went out there to try to hurt Jason Tatum is absurd. Absolutely absurd. Speaking of injuries, someone got hurt again, and then he went back in the game. What is going on with a former MVP? We'll explain coming up next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers lose game one at the Garden to the Knicks, 111-104. Josh Hart, awesome for the Knicks. Josh Hart on that short list of guys in the NBA or in pro sports that I would deem the ultimate winner, even though he's never won. Like, that guy just feels like a winner.
Yeah.
And in the pros, he's never actually won.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've played with and against a lot of those guys. You're like, that dude's a winner. But then you look at his fingers and he's got no rings. Yeah. Josh Hart feels like that kind of guy. But the story of that game.
He was the story of that game.
Well,
Josh Hart was the story of that, especially the fourth quarter.
Fair, fair. Yeah. But the lingering story, let's say,
okay,
is Joel Embiid, who plays in this game. There was some speculation about his health. At one point, then throws the ball off the backboard to jam it himself. The best and worst play we've seen by Embiid in a long period of time. The best, because it looked unbelievable in doing it. The worst, because he's on the ground. He has to limp off. We're showing the video on ESPN2. He then does come back in the game. He does not end up sitting out and had 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. But it seems, guys, really hard to believe that Embiid is going to be able to make it through a postseason healthy, considering he's not right now.
And that's been the knock on Joel Embiid's entire career, right? Mm-hmm. The guy is not healthy at the most important time in the calendar. And at some point, something about that has to change. And as much as I want to give him credit for coming out there in the second half and trying to fight through it, I mean, at this point, we're beyond just giving him credit for being out there. There's no medals for playing through injuries. Nobody's healthy this time of year. But the thought was, when you came back, that your team actually had a chance to contend in an Eastern Conference that seemed a little bit suspect outside of the Boston Celtics. And I got to say this, Smalls, I know it might be a little knee-jerk, and that's a pun intended, but, I mean, if they don't get out of the first round against the Knicks, I would have to call this a disappointment, even with him dealing with the knee injury.
Even though he was out for 2 months?
I got to call it a disappointment. Nobody told him to throw it off the backboard to himself and try to dunk it. That's a self-inflicted wound. Nobody told you you had to go out there and make that play.
So you think he was doing too much?
He was doing way too much. And then he's giving us all the drama and letting us know that he's playing through injuries by gimping around and having all of these facial expressions. Bro, we know you're hurt. Mm-hmm. We get it. Mm-hmm. But you don't get extra credit for being hurt. You know how you get extra credit for being hurt? If you win a championship. If you win a championship when you're not 100%, okay, cool. But until you get close to doing that, I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that. Like, that's the problem that I have with this Sixers team. And the other problem I have is guys that are pulling no-shows. Guys that came up big in the play-in game that did not show up for game one against the New York Knicks. Yes, Tobias Harris, I'm talking to you. Yes, Buddy Hield, I'm talking to you. You guys were massive disappointments. Tyrese Maxey got off to a little bit of a slow start. Like, the others for the Sixers needed to play better in order to have a chance to steal game one. And here's the thing. If you would have been able to steal game one with Joel Embiid's knee being banged up, you might be able to sit him in game two and give him 4 days rest. That might have been a possibility. But now that's off the board. You don't give yourself that kind of margin for error now, because other guys decided that they weren't going to show up when your star player, who you knew was hurt, struggled a little bit in the second half.
Yeah, we talked about the Clippers being able to succeed despite Kawhi not being there. Same thing with the Bucks in the absence of Giannis. I do not have the same confidence in Philadelphia if Joel Embiid is banged up in the manner in which he is. If he's not able to be even a glimpse of the dominant Joel Embiid that we know to be, and we have the numbers right there on the TV side showing just the disparity between Joel Embiid on and off the court. 3-point field goal percentage, 43% when Embiid is on the court, 0% when he's not there. Mm. There's a huge difference in this team with or without Joel Embiid.
So they do lose the game by 7. He does score 29 points. There's two things that jump out at me. You know, Nuno, our producer, asked me a question, and I think you just hit on it, CeCe. Were they pushing him in game one because they had the lead, him being Embiid, with the thought of maybe we get this one and sit him out in game two? And if that even goes through your mind, you have a bigger problem, because that means you're already trying to plan rest days for Embiid, mm-hmm. knowing he cannot make it through a 7-game series. The second thing that you just brought up, you said, I would have to look at this as a disappointment if they lose. Mm-hmm. I have struggled with this. I think I have to come to that side, because how do I sit here and pick them to go to the finals, which I did.
Yep.
Right? I picked the Clippers and the Sixers just to try to be a little bit different based on what I've seen so far out of these two teams. And if they lose in the first round and Embiid plays, I got to say it's a disappointment, because as great as the Knicks have been this year and they play their butts off, they're easy to – I don't root for them, but they're easy to root for. They're a likable team. They, as Tim Legler says, they leave skin on the floor, right? Mm-hmm. They play their hardest. They're easy to root for. This is not some superpower at the second seed this year.
No.
It's not like Giannis
and the
Bucks.
And they're not even healthy. Julius Randle's right. Going an all-NBA player.
If you told me Giannis and the Bucks were 100% healthy and they were the 2 seed, different story.
Yes.
Philadelphia should be able to beat this Knicks team, and that's not a knock on the Knicks. It's a compliment to the Sixers. And we all wonder, okay, how much longer does Embiid have in Philly? Is he ever going to ask out? I have to then ask the question. We speculate about Paul George and others. Who's going to run to go play with him if he's never there in the postseason? Well, I mean, you have all this cap space. You know, free agents are not going to voluntarily want to go there. You're going to have to get traded there, which is what happens anyway. But who's going to ask to go to Philly right now when you know, come this time of year, unfortunately and tragically, Embiid's never healthy? That's not an attractive destination. I hate to say it that way. This has to become, ultimately, it may just have to become Maxey's team. He's great. But, I mean, do you think, if this series goes seven, do you guys think Embiid's going to play seven games in this series?
No.
Okay, let's just stop there. Listen to what, we're talking about the first round. We're talking about the first round. He played in game one, and you're already assuming he's going to have to miss a game in this series.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, based on what you saw in game one, how could you confidently say that you think he's going to play seven games?
Yeah, but I guess my question is, why would the franchise even put him out there if they thought that he wasn't physically capable of being able to hold up in a playoff series? Why even throw him out there?
Wait a second. Go back.
What's the point in doing that?
CeCe, let me ask you. Let me follow up on this. Are you saying he shouldn't have played game one, or he shouldn't have come back in? What are you saying, or both?
No, what I'm saying is, if the thought process was that this guy might not be able to play all seven games in this series and that we've got to do everything we can to steal game one, well, why the hell are you playing him anyway? Why is he even in the game? Like, if you didn't think that he could make it through a full playoff series, if you don't think he can make it through the next month of basketball healthy, then why is he even out there? Like, that's the question. Is it a matter of him re-injuring himself because he threw the alley-oop off the backboard to himself? Is that a re-injury, or was this something that was continuing to linger? Because I'm starting to lean toward the latter. I thought initially in the play-in, the reason that he struggled was that he wasn't in shape. Mm-hmm. Clearly, that was wrong.
Right.
So I'm questioning now why the franchise would even put him in harm's way, knowing how big he is, knowing the physical stature, knowing how much pressure is going to be on that knee. Why would you even put him out there, knowing that he is the face of your franchise, knowing that he is the centerpiece of everything that you're trying to build for the foreseeable future? It just doesn't make sense.
There are a lot of people that echo your sentiments and say it's got to be bigger than one series for this guy, because now we're talking about his career, right? God forbid he re-injures himself. If you told me he didn't play in game two, I believe it at this point, right? Yeah. You'd have to believe
so
it.
So here's what we're settling on. It's an indictment on one or the other. It's either an indictment on Joel Embiid because he's dealing with, you know, being in pain but not at risk of major injury. Either it's that, mm-hmm, or it's an indictment on the Sixers organization for mismanaging the injury.
Which we've seen before with them.
Either way, it's awful, right? Like, if they're saying, oh, well, he's healthy enough, we think he can make it through a full playoff series, we think he can make it through a full deep run into the playoffs. If they're saying that, and that's the version of Embiid that's showing up, that's an indictment on Embiid. Conversely, if he's not healthy, then that's an indictment on the Sixers. Either way, it's all bad for Philadelphia.
But I understand why he would want to be out there and why they would want to try to have him go play, even if he's not 100%. You only get so many shots at this sometimes in your career. And if you're Joel Embiid and you have been in this position and come up short time and time again, you want to go out there and compete, even if you're not at 100%. I understand a player wanting to play through injury and risk it. And I understand the 76ers organization, who has been through these ups and downs, trusting the process. They've put together this team and they really think that they have a shot to be a surprise team at the end and sneak into the playoffs and go on a run. We had counted them out in so many ways, and then everything shifted once we thought Embiid would be back. I understand wanting to have a high risk, high reward type of approach when it comes to Embiid.
Yeah, but at the cost of telling everybody else around the NBA that I'm not capable of staying healthy on a deep playoff run. Again, in a consequential offseason where they're going to have a ton of cap space and they're going to have assets in the way of draft picks that they can use to trade for guys. To Evan's point, who the hell wants to come play with Joel Embiid knowing that there's a second round ceiling on this team because this guy can't stay healthy and available in the playoffs?
Perfect. I can't add anything to that. That's a cosign, like, retweet?
Yeah, there you go.
I got it right.
Maybe not in that order, but yeah.
Okay, well, close enough. I get this right all the time when I tell everybody about True Green. I love a beautiful lawn. I hate doing lawn care. That's why I use True Green. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. Literally had a conversation this weekend with my wife about when our first treatment is coming up. I think it is soon. We all know those are some nice greens. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn with True Green. All you have to do is water and mow. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 30th, you get one application free. Visit TrueGreen.com for the best lawn at the best price guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Now that the weekend is over, it's time to look back and break it down.
Without further ado, let's get this thing kicked off.
This is a Pun Further Review.
After further review,
a little farther.
With Chris Canty.
Ah, yes, upon further review, the weekend that was in sports. Before we get to that, though, we got to give a shout out to Killer Mike for bringing us the ginger sauce.
Unbelievable.
From Hibachi, the sauce that we get.
Unbelievable.
Oh, Mike bought us that on Friday.
Yeah.
I literally ate it with every meal this weekend.
Me too.
Like, I put it on every salad, meal to breakfast. I put it on the vegetables that my wife cooked up for dinner last night. Like, I put it on everything. As a matter of fact, I looked at my wife with the screw face when she grabbed it. I asked her, who told you about that, and why do you have that in your hand? That is not for you.
You even cannot steal someone's ginger sauce.
That is not for you.
Absolutely right.
The ginger
Absolutely
sauce
right.
is for me.
Now, here's the problem. Smalls, we're going to pretend you're not here.
Okay,
you and I are just talking now.
Yeah.
He brought three of them.
Yeah.
You and I scarfed two of them.
Yeah.
She's doing 75 hard. There is some sugar in it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know why you even told her that there was one in there
I
for her.
Yeah, that was your
yes.
fatal mistake.
We could have just flipped the coin and decided who was going to take it home after today's show, me or you. Now you done got her involved. She's all intrigued. She's going
to
take it home.
I'm not a thief.
It's not stealing.
I was out of town. It's technically not thievery.
It's not.
We already have an incident with the Property Brothers stealing scissors from Hembo.
This is different, though.
That's different?
This is different, though.
Okay.
This is completely
Yeah, I would
different.
Have been none the wiser.
Exactly.
I mean, if you don't want it, I'll take it for you.
Well, I want to just try a little bit.
Exactly. That's exactly what I
All right, if you so don't you like it, bring. Here's the deal.
Okay.
If you don't like it, would you be willing to split it in half, give CeCe half and me half? All right, good.
No, but you can have it.
No, you can't do this,
you can have it. You can have it. I'm being a good teammate
That's
right
nice.
Now.
That's nice.
No, you can have it.
I don't want to split it in half. I'm just going to go to the store and get another one.
I don't think they sell them at the store.
I got
to
find
The way
it.
That they get them, it's the ginger sauce
I'm
gonna at the Hibachi.
I'm going to find it. It's Killer Mike clearly bought it at a store. So I'm gonna
he bought it at the Hibachi place.
He bought it at the Hibachi place?
Yeah, he bought it at the Hibachi place.
Okay, so I got to find a Hibachi place and get one there.
Correct. That's right.
Exactly.
All right, upon further review.
So upon further review, the weekend that was in sports. Let's kick this thing off with number one.
Number one.
It was Dame time at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Dame Lillard was serving it up. He let everybody know, this is why you brought me here, to ball out in the postseason, to be the difference, even when Giannis is not available or if Giannis is having an off night. Dame Lillard can pick up the slack. Not saying they're a better team without Giannis, but their roles on offense are a little bit more clearly defined. Big space on the floor. Lopez running high pick and roll with Dame, getting opportunities to beat defenders one-on-one and get downhill. 32 of Damian Lillard's 35 points came off the dribble. He only faced two double teams the entire game, and that is credit to the game plan that Doc Rivers had out there to be able to space the floor, to give Dame opportunities to break down defenses off the bounce and get into the paint. Now, as a result, Lillard locked a career high in the playoffs, 35 points at halftime, and he set the stage for Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis to have nice nights in their own right. So Damian Lillard allows this offense to have more of an identity by himself than when he and Giannis are on the court. Sometimes we see that with two superstars that have done it at high levels in different places. They don't necessarily know how to coexist. I will say this, man. There's something to be said for what this offense looks like when Giannis is not on the court with Dame. Again, they're not winning a championship without Giannis, but it's hard to argue the results when you see how good they could be offensively yesterday.
It was a reminder of what a star Damian Lillard is, right?
Yes.
The fact that he could step up in that moment and outscore the rest of his team in the first half and literally carry them to this victory.
Yeah.
We talk so much about the dysfunction in Milwaukee this season, and we didn't emphasize enough just how good Damian Lillard is.
No doubt about it. Next.
Number two.
My Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to have an exit to the playoff stage left after 1 week.
Oh, just a week.
Just a week. This series is over.
So the series started Saturday.
The series is going to be over.
They play tonight.
It'll be over by next Wednesday. It'll be over by next Wednesday.
Well, it could. Let me just look here.
Just make sure with the schedule, but I think it's going to be over next Wednesday.
I think even before then.
I think it might be over next.
If you think it's a sweep, I have to see here.
Yeah, I mean, it's either going to be a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. There's no way that this thing goes beyond five games. It's not going to be a long series. Not after what I saw on Saturday night. I mean, the Lakers built a double-digit lead in the first half, and they were outscored 57-43 in the second half. Jokic and Murray flexed on them. I mean, both of those guys logged 20-plus point double-doubles with no turnovers. No turnovers. I mean, the Lakers' defense didn't even pinch them. Like, no turnovers. Like, none of them. And I'm not sure in what world it makes sense for D'Lo to take more shots than LeBron James in game one of the first playoff series, but that happened on Saturday night as well. I mean, D'Angelo Russell shot 30% from the field, including 1-9 from three. Not great.
Game four is Saturday.
Not great. Exactly a week. Game four is Saturday?
Exactly a week.
Yeah, it'll be over in a week. I mean, you know what it's going to look like? It's going to look like Ryan Garcia beating the hell out of Devin Haney at the Brooklyn Nets Arena. That's what it's going to look like. Like, that's what this is right now. Like, I've seen it before. I don't know why we expect it to be any different. The last 12 times they've played, the Nuggets have won 10 of them, including 9 straight. Why do we think it's going to be different? We've seen this movie before. It doesn't end well. LeBron might not have a doubt mindset, but guess what? I have no doubt that the Denver Nuggets are going to make quick work of the Los Angeles Lakers. This is not even going to be competitive.
Lakers were up at the half, 60-57.
That's great.
That didn't get you excited at all?
We're going to raise the banner for the Lakers having a halftime lead? They don't give you wins for leading at halftime. They give you wins for leading after four quarters.
Should we put it next to the in-season tournament banner?
Probably should. Yeah, that might work.
They do have that, don't they?
All right, I feel like we got to take that down now. Yeah. If you lose in the first round of the playoffs, you should have to take down.
No, you won the in-season.
You should have to take down
all,
the in-season tournament.
Matters.
Well, LeBron did something that Jordan didn't do, right? The in-season tournament?
That's right.
He won that.
Shout out to Team 2311. NASCAR win yesterday. Let's go. Talladega. I'm a big NASCAR guy. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, next.
Number three.
Ant-Man does it again. Ev.
He's awesome.
33 points, 9 boards, 6 assists. T-Wolves dominate the Suns in a double-digit win. Prior to the series, Anthony Edwards said that this is the matchup that he wanted because Kevin Durant is his favorite player, so he wanted to show the world how good he actually was. This postseason could be a coronation of sorts for the next phase of the NBA, and Ant-Man is in the pole position after the first weekend of the playoffs. The guy was absolutely dominant, and in that third quarter, he was cooking Kevin Durant. Now, I give KD credit for taking the challenge of trying to defend Ant-Man one-on-one, but guess what? It looked like a mismatch. And we need to make a new rule. When you're down 20, no trash talking. Can we make that a new rule? When you're down 20 points in the third quarter, fourth quarter, no trash talking. Can we make that a new rule, Smalls?
That could be an unsportsmanlike rule.
Yeah, I feel like we should make that a new rule. We should laminate that right with the quarterback rules and right with our NBA playoff brackets. We're going to laminate that.
We're laminating.
When you're down 20,
when you're down 20,
in the playoffs, in the second half, no trash talking.
Laminate it, Pineapple Jack out there. Let's go.
But I'm just saying, Anthony Edwards, I mean, that was some kind of special that we saw on Saturday, wasn't it?
He was amazing. So there is something to this guy. And when he was backpedaling and talking junk to Kevin Durant, scoring 18 in the third quarter, it was amazing. There is a progression for guys that are built the way he is built, that play the way he plays. You go from Dwayne Wade to Kobe Bryant, to Michael Jordan. In our era of basketball at that position, he feels early Dwayne Wade to me, and he feels like he's going to get to Kobe. I don't mean as good. I'm saying like he is on that path where I have decided something. We have debated the next face of the league, Ant-Man versus Wemby. The answer is yes. Because guess what? Kobe and Tim Duncan were there together. Michael and Elijah Wan were there together. This is what we're looking at right now. Or Kobe and Shaq, I should say. Yeah. That's what this is going to be. Wemby was nominated for two awards yesterday, finalists for Defensive Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year. Don't discount him, but Ant-Man is right there. He is that good.
Anthony Edwards is 22 years old.
He is that good.
He's 22 years old.
I watched D-Wade do it like this early also. I'm telling you, he's unreal, this guy.
That moment that you're talking about where he was backpedaling, talking trash to Kevin Durant, who was his childhood idol, that felt like that power shift moment where your idol becomes your rival, where he was announcing himself in so many ways. It's just a continuation of what we've seen from him. But for him to... Kevin Durant was smiling at him like, yeah, I see you. I know what's going on. It was just such a cool moment and a cool exchange, and I loved seeing Ant-Man talk about it after the game, saying it was one of the best feelings ever for him to be able to do that to Kevin Durant in that moment.
So this is Ant's, what, third year, fourth year in the league?
I think it's his fourth year.
Fourth year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is going to be, he's already phenomenal.
Think about that, though.
I was just thinking, Wade.
That is insane. He's 22 years old, and this is his fourth year in the league.
Wade in year two got to the conference finals. In year three, won his championship with Shaq, or the first one.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean.
He's trying to overcome the nonsense that is the Timberwolves organization.
Oh, that's, he's already done that. Yeah. I mean, and you know what the other thing is? I'll give Karl Anthony Towns credit. Karl Anthony Towns, who was drafted number one overall, he was big in the game, but he also knows it's his team.
Yeah.
It ain't my team anymore. It's his team, and he embraced it being his team. You have been right the entire time about Ant-Man, but the world is going to see it now in a way that they did not see it during the regular season.
That was the quietest 31 points we've ever seen from Kevin Durant, wasn't it? That was the quiet, like, think about it, that was a quiet 31.
All I could think about in that game with him.
I mean, quiet like a church mouse.
Totally.
CeCe, in that game, all I could think about is how the hell does this team get better? Because I don't know how they can.
Phoenix?
Yeah. Because they are scrapped in terms of ways of getting better because of the contracts. It is remarkable how good Minnesota is.
I'll tell you how to get better. They trade Kevin Durant. That's how to get better.
That's one way of looking at it. It is draft week. The latest news and rumors around the draft. We will get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
A reminder, we with Unsportsmanlike, Evan Canty and Michelle will be broadcasting live beginning Thursday from Detroit's new home for sports, ESPN Bet.
You and me both.
At Hollywood Casino Greektown. That's ESPN Bet, Hollywood Casino Greektown. We will be there Thursday and Friday.
I can't wait. I'm so excited for this. I've never been to Detroit, which I'm so excited about, but I was telling my dad over the weekend, going to the draft, you're literally watching people's dreams come true right in front of your eyes, which is amazing.
Well, it's going to be people watching us as well on ESPN2 and ESPNU. Eat a lot of food, from what I gather.
Oh, Detroit-style pizza?
Per sources close to me, that would be Nuno, who informed me, our producer this morning, he said, we got to figure out the exact arrival time versus when everyone else is arriving. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the entire crew is going to arrive way earlier than us, because they have to set up the spread and the equipment and everything like that.
The spread?
Yeah, the spread.
I think now he's taking some liberties of me telling him that there was going to be food there. But we
you
were,
said light Danish? What did you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, for the crew. Like the crew
oh,
that's
for them.
Not for us.
Well, there probably would be stuff for us, but we were trying to figure out what time we're actually going to leave to show up on site. So, and I was telling him that there was going to be food involved, and that's all he focuses on.
Right.
Well,
there
what else is there to focus
will
on?
There right? be coffee there.
Yes, yes, there'll be coffee.
That's
yes.
all I care about is if there'll be coffee.
Wait a minute. You want CC and I to not Smalls? I know is unbelievable with her health and 75 hard, and kudos to her. She's amazing with that. Now about the two of us. You want CC and I to sit there at different times during the draft coverage at our location, Hollywood Casino Greektown at ESPN Bet, and not eat the free food? Is that what Nuno is suggesting to us?
I don't know why he would suggest something crazy like that.
No one has suggested that.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure. All right. Let's do a little over-under ESPN Bet draft position right now. Okay. So I'm going to give you a player and where they're going to be drafted. You're going to give me the over-under ESPN Bet. We're going to be there at Hollywood Casino Greektown on Thursday and Friday. Joe Alt, dominant offensive tackle at a Notre Dame. Is he picked before pick 8, over under 7.5, basically, is what we're looking at.
Ooh, that is a spicy over under. I always felt like the backstop for Joe Alt was number 7 to the Tennessee Titans, but if they've got that half in there, then it almost makes me feel like there's a scenario that Vegas is baking in there where 4 quarterbacks get taken in the top 7 picks, and then there's a run on receivers as well. So, I mean, think about it. Malik Nabers is probably going to be picked in the top 7. Marvin Harrison Jr. certainly will be picked in the top 7. There will be 3 quarterbacks picked in the top 7. So, I mean, I guess the
conversation. 5 guys right
there.
5
guys yeah. right there. The question mark becomes, does J.J. McCarthy and Romo Odunze go inside that top 7? And I guess that's what the 7.5 for Joe Alt is being factored in. Now, I do think the Tennessee Titans take a tackle, but there is a world where they could trade down and do that. So, yeah, it feels like with all of the momentum that's happening around McCarthy and the wide receivers, I would take the over on this number.
Yeah, I was kind of with you with Tennessee. And if they're at 7, I guess I would take the under.
Yeah.
Because I think that if he's on the board there, I could totally see them, if they're going to put all of their eggs in the Will Levis basket, wanting to make sure that he's protected. And Joe Alt is a monster. I don't know if they would be able to not pick him if he was there, or if they would want to trade out of that spot. That just seems like it would be such a critical pick for them. So I see him going before 8.
All right, let's go to Romo Odunze, who you mentioned, the wide receiver out of Washington, over under 8.5.
I'm going to go under.
By the way, I should explain. Under means picked before in this
yeah,
case.
Under
over means
yeah,
picked after.
Yes, I think yes. it's going to be under. I think he's going to go inside of the top 8. I think there's going to be a run on quarterbacks. And then right after that, the run on wide receivers starts inside of the top 10 and really inside of the top 5. So, yeah, I think that's what happens. I'm going under 8.5 for Romo Odunze. He gets picked before the 8th overall pick.
In my mind, that's where he goes. In my mind, he goes to Chicago at 9. Okay. I totally see them going out and getting another weapon for Caleb Williams. So I guess that would be under, right?
No, that's over.
Over. See, I got it all mixed up. Over.
Over.
Over. I think that he goes 9 to Chicago.
Goes number 9.
The player part is not hard for Smalls. The math part is.
Well, they deleted it off the board.
We were told, in all fairness, that there would be no math in this
show. Shout out to Illinois. 100%. Really did a great job over there. All right, anyway. Oh, yeah.
We didn't have any
math.
Oh,
yeah. I'm taking shots.
I took English. I took poli sci. I took philosophy, which was bizarre.
And I'm going to take your ginger sauce. All right. Michael Penix, drafted before pick 33. Let's see. 32.5 over under. Is he a first rounder or not? Quarterback from Washington. That's basically what we're saying. And yeah. I want to point out, as ESPN Bet has this, Jeff Legwald, who does a top 100 for ESPN.com every single year, had Michael Penix Jr. as his 50th best prospect. That doesn't mean he's going to be drafted 50. That just means pro prospect number 50. So, over under 32.5.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why he's saying he's pro prospect number 50 is because there are some teams that are uncomfortable with the medical and not going to draft him high.
Right.
They're not going to draft him in the first 2 days of the NFL draft because he had 2 season-ending injuries in college, one with his shoulder, one with his knee. So, I mean, I get it, but the talent is undeniable. You can't turn on the tape and say there's a flaw in Michael Penix Jr.'s game that's not going to allow him to have success at the next level. Like, the guy has shown the ability to play within structure and deliver the football at all 3 levels of the field. So I don't understand why a team wouldn't decide that they're going to trade back into the first round and get him with that fifth-year option. If you think that he's going to be a borderline first-round pick, then you might as well go ahead and take him in the first round so you do get the benefit of a fifth-year option. Another year of having him at controllable cost, it just seems to make sense.
Yeah, I would be shocked if Michael Penix Jr. didn't go in the first round. I think I'm with you. A lot of those quarterbacks are going to go early in the draft. You always need a franchise quarterback. But this year specifically, coming off the season that we had with so many quarterback injuries, with the numbers that he put up, the type of person that he could be if he's infused into your organization, I would be really surprised if a team doesn't take a flyer on him in the first round.
All right, ESPN bets over under for the draft. This last one, only one player has worked out for all 32 teams. Only one. And that is Bo Nix. Over under pick 32.5. First rounder or not? That's the quarterback out of Oregon by way of Auburn.
I'm going to say under. I think the back half of the first round is going to be dominated by offensive linemen and defensive backs. So I'm going to say under. I don't see it with Bo Nix. I mean, we had Mike Tannenbaum on the show not too long ago, and he said he doesn't see an NFL arm. I'm not going to take it that far, but I think there are a lot of questions about a guy that's played a ton of football in college between Auburn and Oregon. So I'm going to say under. Bo Nix is not a first-round pick.
That's over.
I mean, over. I'm going to say over. He's not a first-round pick.
I'm with you. Over. I think he slips to the second round.
That is amazing. It's like, there's no debate as to who the most debated player is. Only one has worked out for all 32. Nobody knows what to make of this guy. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.